This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Look, we're going to shake things up.
On Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
I don't think we're asking the right question. I think the question we should be asking is, do you believe in this thing or not?
The Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
What do you mean? Of course martial arts training is relevant.
Now your hosts.
Let me save you some time. Get comfortable.
WSBT Radio's Sean Steyer.
Let's get started.
And former Irish quarterback, Evan Sharpley.
Hey, stay sharp.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Leprechaun Lunch. This could be the most important Leprechaun Lunch ever.
Really?
I mean, we haven't been around that long, but no. It could be. Evan Sharpley, the voice right there that you just heard, he is back from his whirlwind tour of Italy.
That was great.
I bet. You've got a big smile on your face. This is like the first time you and I have sat here in the studio in like a month, I think, right? Since before the start of the NCAA tournament.
I believe so.
Does that sound right? We were at your facility, Sharpley Training in Elkhart, a couple of weeks ago. So we were off last week because you were in Italy, and we'll talk all about your trip to Italy. But I mean, we started this morning off with breaking news. I mean, and it is hot. It is hot news.
That it's so warm outside?
Yeah. Only to snow in 3 days, right?
That's right.
Arike Ogunbowale, who has become a national sensation. She already beat the buzzer
twice.
To beat Connecticut.
Unbelievable.
In the national semifinal at the Final Four. Beat the buzzer to win the national championship against Mississippi State. Then she goes off to L.A. She's on Ellen DeGeneres. She gets to meet the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant. The whole thing, just when you think it couldn't get any better, boom!
The stakes are raised
even farther. Dancing with the Stars. Announced this morning, Arike Ogunbowale, the Notre Dame women's basketball player, is going to be on the new season of Dancing with the Stars. She's one of 10 athletes who will be on the first ever all-athlete-themed version of the show. They've had a lot of notable athletes on before, like Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, many, many others, Olympians on down the line. But this is going to be the first ever athletes only.
And but Notre Dame's an NCAA Arike, athlete, yeah. So she can't accept any.
That's true. She can't.
wouldn't this be a benefit?
Well, isn't part of that, though, as an athlete, you can receive any benefit that's open to anyone else in the same that kind of thing? Like,
yes, I think that's how it's worded.
Right.
But I mean, how does, like, flying out...
This is a monetary prize. She's the first college athlete,
yeah,
how would
flying out... I know this is off topic of what, but it's, these things are always very interesting to me because of how cool this opportunity is, and usually you don't see it most likely because of that reason.
Right.
Where the NCAA, quote-unquote, is trying to protect the athletes from, I would say, this type of exposure. So who's paying for the flights? Who's paying for the hotels? And, I mean, you have professional dance trainers. That's
again,
all included, too.
Yeah, all the...
Then why doesn't she get paid? Because all these people are going to tune in to watch.
That's it. But all these other people would receive the same things. Like, if all of their expenses are going to be covered, then she would fall under that she would be able... to
right.
accept those same things because it's open to anybody else who's doing the same thing.
Still pretty cool.
It is. It's very cool. So now, I mean, and Dancing with the Stars has kind of become, I think, anyway, and I'll say up front, because Darren Pritchett and I on Sports Beat last year, when David Ross, the former Chicago Cubs catcher, was on Dancing with the Stars, he got all the way to the finals, and I would bring it up. Darren wasn't very happy about it that we had to talk about Dancing with the Stars on Sports Beat. I've watched the show forever, so I've seen a lot of these different athletes. I've watched I don't know how many seasons. I think this is going to be like season 26 or something like that, and I've probably watched at least 25 of the seasons over the years. So I've watched it a lot. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I have a wife. I have a daughter. we view it all together on Mondays and, you know, whatever. It's kind of changed a little bit over the years. So I've watched it for a long time. And I think that it has kind of become one of the big sort of melding spots for pop culture and sports.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe 20 years or so ago, MTV, you saw a lot more of that, but they've gone away from that with the programming that they have. Maybe ESPN every now and then and some of these others. But I think this is kind of, again, when we're talking about Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, the two of the greatest players in the history of the NFL have both won this thing. Calvin Johnson from the Detroit Lions, Donald Driver from the Green Bay Packers, David Ross, the first baseball player last year to do it, and a slew of Olympians.
Good off-season training, huh?
that's it. So
I did find, though, that it's long been reported that they get $125,000 just for signing up.
Really?
Yes, and then it's on a sliding scale. If you make it to episode 3 and 4, you earn an additional $10,000 on top of that signing bonus.
So you kind of keep going as you advance.
Yeah, $20,000 to $30,000 after that. And then the final two episodes in each season, they're given an extra $50,000. And if you win, then it's, I believe, it's $345,000. They don't get an additional bonus, but if you get to that final night, that's what you're getting paid.
All right.
So does that? Who does that go to then if she wins?
And we'll have to do some checking on that. What would happen?
I'm sure she's not. I mean, we obviously know she's not getting any of that.
Yeah. Because you can't make money off your name as a college athlete, student athlete, correct?
Right. Well, what was the situation? There was a punter or a kicker at a school in Florida who had a YouTube channel, and the NCAA made him either delete the account or stop playing football.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like he was making a lot of money on it, but he was making some money.
Well, and the thing just a couple of weeks ago where Katie Ledecky, the Stanford swimmer, who of course is also an Olympic gold medalist, she has decided that she has college eligibility remaining at least a year, if not two, I think. She's decided she's done
because time to get paid.
They wouldn't let her accept endorsements.
And did she have to pay taxes on her medals, if I recall correctly?
I think most of them do, don't they?
Yeah. So how would she pay for that if she's not making any money?
Yeah. How can you do it? Home Depot. Home of Olympians, right?
Yeah.
So in any case, Arike Ogunbowale is going to be on Dance with the Stars. It's going to premiere 2 weeks from Monday, April
30th. Man, they get after it then, huh?
Well, and they're also condensing this season because typically it's like at least a two-month season, but going through and reading who all else is going to be on there, because again, it's all athletes. So we get a little bit of a pass. We can get them in there. I'll read you who the 10 athletes are, but it's only going to be a 4 week season.
Quick one.
This year. So I don't know if that means maybe.
Are they longer
ratings
episodes
have been
maybe?
Declining over the years or what, but.
Interesting.
But, the ratings have been fairly strong because I know like last year, a typical episode of Dancing with the Stars was out drawing like NHL playoff games, things like that. So so here are the other contestants, along with Arike Ogunbowale from Notre Dame in Dance with the Stars. And again, it is all athletes. Four Olympians from Pyeongchang are going to participate. Figure skater Adam Rippon, he'll be with Jenna Johnson, the pro. Olympic luger Chris Masder, he won a silver medal in the men's singles luge, became the first American in the luge ever to hit the podium. So he's going to be on there with Whitney Carson. Snowboarder Jamie Anderson is going to be on there. She's a double gold medalist from 2014 and this past Olympics. Female figure skater Mirai Nagasu is going to be on there as well. So those are the current, just most Olympians. Recent Olympians. Yeah. Then you've also got Jenny Finch, arguably, and I guess it's actually Jenny Finch Daigle, arguably the most famous softball player.
Not the best softball player, but the most famous.
Most famous. That's right. Johnny Damon.
Oh, okay.
The idiot, self-described idiot from the 2004 Boston Red Sox who helped him break the curse of the Bambino. He's going to be just the second baseball player to ever be on there, along with David Ross last year. Josh Norman, cornerback for the Washington Redskins.
Really?
If you ask him, he would say he's the greatest cornerback.
Greatest player, maybe the greatest player ever.
That's right. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Wow.
I know.
I like that one.
70 years old, and he's 7'2", and his partner, Lindsey Arnold, is probably 5'7", top. So that's going to be interesting to see how
that works
out.
That dynamic will be strange.
Absolutely. And then the last one. Have you heard any of the list at all before coming in here?
This is all new to you?
This is all
new, yeah.
Who would you say is the most infamous figure skater ever?
Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding.
She's on the show?
She's on the show.
All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, You're talking some drama right there. Did you see I, Tonya by any chance?
I have not seen it yet, but I watched the 30 for 30 when that came out on that whole situation. And I was fairly young at the time, but I vividly remember all the goings on of that because in our household, I guess very much like you guys watch Dancing with the Stars, we watched female figure skating for whatever reason.
I've always watched Olympics too. So, I mean, I was glued to that. And I think that became... Again, when you talk about mixing sports and pop culture, I mean, that was the story for however many months that it was. But I saw I, Tonya just a couple of weeks ago, really good. And, of course, Margot Robbie was nominated for an Academy Award for playing Tonya Harding. And Allison Janney won an Oscar for playing her mom. It's a good movie.
I will watch it.
I was a little bit more, and now... And it says at the start of the movie that they based the movie on interviews with both Tonya Harding and her ex-husband, Galluli.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's an interesting cat too. But so maybe it skews toward her a little bit, but the fact that you had him, whatever he was saying was a big influence. But you do feel a little bit more for Tonya Harding, I think, after watching the thing, based on the crazy mother she grew up with. So in any case...
She's done it all. She did the celebrity boxing, I think, for a while, too. Is that correct?
She did.
Yeah.
And I think they might have...
She did another one of the...
Kind of at the end, they tacked on, here's kind of what happened after this, and I think they went into the boxing.
Yeah, there was that. I think there was another celebrity, like, Big Brother type of show that she was on as well.
Right.
She's done a lot of those.
She's done a lot of that different kind of stuff. And it... I mean, it's interesting because... This other skater, Mirai Nagasu, she is the first woman to ever land a triple axel in Olympic competition. But Tonya Harding, prior to those Olympics in, what would that have been, 94, she actually landed one pre-Olympics, but was never able to land one. And no other woman prior to this, this past Olympics, was ever able to land
one. Are they
going
to try this on the dance floor?
I bet they try something. Something along. But that's... So, if I had to put odds right now, we've only got 10. And so, that 10 with four episodes means you're going to have multiple people probably booted every week. I would start with Rippon, the male figure skater. Then I would go with Nagasu, the female figure skater. And I
think those are good bets.
Yeah, because the figure skaters...
There'll be some...
The gymnasts...
Some carryover.
They typically do pretty well because they're kind of versed at least in...
Those
movements and things like that. And I don't know how well Ulrike dances, but based on the rest of the field, I would probably
put her in the four spot. Yeah, yeah.
3-4, right around there right now.
Wilt probably towards the end. Or Kareem.
Yeah.
Towards the end.
That's going to be tough. And that usually, the older guys, gals.
I'm sure he'll have a great time.
Usually out quickly, yeah. Hopefully his legs, I don't know what kind of shape, you know, what he still does, but. It's good, so it'll be fun. So congratulations to Ulrike Agunbowale making it onto Dancing with the Stars. And again, it starts 2 weeks from Monday. So be tuning in. Get our updates. I know Darren will be excited on Sports Beats. We've got to talk about Dancing with the Stars again. And I feel for him. All right, so that is that. Ulrike Agunbowale heading for more national television on Dancing with the Stars. And we'll have to follow up and see if we can find out some information about what you were talking about with the money and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so it is just about 14 minutes after 12 o'clock. And again, Evan made a trip to Italy. That's why we were off last week. And it was football related. And we'll get a full rundown of that in our second segment. But first, we've only got 2 weeks left, really a week left, next week of spring football practice, and then we've got the Blue Gold game a week from
the 21st,
tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah, a week from tomorrow here on WSBT. And as we gear up toward that, of course, everyone is going to be looking at the quarterbacks because that's where all the questions still come. How do the quarterbacks look? What kind of separation is there? All that different kind of stuff. And Chip Long, the offensive coordinator, talked to the media after yesterday's practice. We didn't get to see any of that practice. We'll actually get to watch all of tomorrow's practice, so we'll kind of have some
fun watching special teams. That's
right. Well, I've been amazed because we've got, what is it, two or three that we've got to see in full, and just Minimal special teams.
Minimal.
But who knows tomorrow?
Yeah.
But in any case, here's what Chip Long, the Irish offensive coordinator, wants to see the rest of the spring from the quarterbacks.
Just keep coming on. Keep coming out there with confidence. Keep being consistent. See how they handle all the, you know, the tough situations we put them in, what their decision making is in those times, and just keep building on those guys. And with their confidence, you know, their confidence is growing because the receiving corps is playing. Well, everybody in the skill position is making contested catches. You know, I think last year you can count on one hand how many one-on-one contested balls we made. I mean, this year it's been good seeing guys, you know, lay out, making plays for the quarterbacks, and that builds his confidence and everybody on the offense. So that's been good, but just the consistent and tough situations, how are they performing, what are their decisions in those situations, and then not making the same mistake twice has been a big deal these last week and a half for me.
And, I mean, they've been solid. What we've seen, I think, and again, we only get to see sort of snapshots over the course of the spring. Last Saturday had to have been one of Brandon Wimbush's most inconsistent days just throwing the football. But, I mean, the biggest takeaway is he does look at least a little bit better. Ian Book has made big strides since last year. And the what he was talking about, what Chip Long was talking about with the tough situations, that's something we've talked about. How do you make things tougher so it translates to game day?
Yeah, that, I mean, I figured I'd hear the word consistency at least a couple of times. I think we were at three or four on that, and that really is the big thing. You know, it's coach speak for those that are listening, but it is something that's really driven hard home throughout the entire spring, and it in the spring probably even more than the fall. It is really hard to create those types of environments because, you know, you're going through an install. It's a little more vanilla. It's a little more basic as far as what you're putting in. So creating those types of atmospheres are important, but you can't, you know, it's not the entire practice. You're picking your moments of when those happen, and you want to make sure that those guys that are performing in those situations.
And so then Chip Long kind of described what he considers tough situations.
Sure, in the pocket, you know, we're on the sideline with a bunch of two-minute situations, a lot of situational football, just where they can be calm in that and show that they're calm, not panicking, and which I think they've done a nice job, both of them, really, just from last year. I mean, it was a lot of panic situations, and this time they're calm and confident in there, and are making solid situations.
I think there were rats running across the the podium there when he was talking.
Happy hands.
yeah, that's right. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you think when you hear that?
The panic part, I think, surprised me a little bit that's what he saw. I don't know if I saw panic at times last year. That I don't know if that was necessarily it. You know, there's certainly a lack of execution. And whether, you know, whether or not there was a miscommunication on, you know, what plays or what, you know, what settings the quarterback was feeling the best in, I don't know what that discussion was, leading up to it. But, you know, the more I listen to how Chip Long talks about last season, I think kind of opened my eyes a little bit to some of the frustration the offensive side had, even though, you know, they were doing some good things, especially running the football.
Yeah. And go back to that first soundbite, what he was talking about, how receivers are doing a better job of fighting for balls this spring. And that was a big issue. I mean, you just didn't see enough of it. And between that and the fact that even though there were some imperfect balls out there, there were some of those imperfect balls guys would still get in their hands and they weren't able to make some of those catches. And that obviously goes a long way as well because it helps sort of feed back to the quarterback, doesn't it? Giving him some confidence that those guys can go out there and make plays.
Yeah, and I'm interested to hear your perspective. You know, I haven't seen I haven't seen any practices this year. You know, over the past 3 years, I've been at practice, you know, about the same number of times you have.
Right.
What's kind of been your general feel so far? And, you know, we'll get to see in the spring game, but as you and I know, the spring game is such a small sliver of the entire set of spring practices. And even the practices that the media go to are a fairly small snapshot of what this, you know, of what the coaching staff sees from the entire time period. But what's kind of been your general feel at the quarterback position right now. Are you seeing any separation? I mean, does it look pretty even? Is the gap closed?
I think Brandon Wimbush is still clearly the number one guy. Again, I think Ian Book this spring is a lot better than last spring. You see some better things, and he's fairly consistent in what we've seen throwing the football as well. Last Saturday specifically, again, there were a lot of inconsistencies in the way Brandon Wimbush threw. Now, again, that is one snapshot. We could come out tomorrow and what we see could be head and shoulders different than that. But the thing that stood out to me last Saturday was a couple of different things. One, his best throw is still that deep corner fade, mm-hmm. where, like, if it's 20-plus yards downfield, I mean, that is the one over toward the sideline that he drops on the money. It's right there 95% of the time. But where he struggles the most, oddly, is with some of the short stuff, mm-hmm. where whether it's there were some wheel routes where he was thrown to running backs and you'd see him throw the ball into the ground or throw behind the running backs and things like that out to the flat. So it's the shorter stuff, and again, because I know we talked about it during the season last year, where maybe he lacked the pull down at the end, where now maybe he's pulling down too much. I don't know, but I think he is still clearly the number one guy. Ian Book is better, but I think Wimbush is still clearly number one. But there's also still some work he has to do to be a lot more consistent.
What do you think's most likely, Brandon Wimbush as a starting quarterback, Ian Book as a starting quarterback, or a rotating quarterback system?
I was thinking yesterday about the rotating thing because I do still think, again, that Wimbush is number one. But if he gets out there against Michigan early in the season and he's having some of these problems and they've got a new offensive line, what if they're not running the ball as effectively as they need to and they need to throw the ball better? Are we going to see, I mean, we saw it 2 years ago where we went into a season where I think most of us would agree that Kizer was definitely one, but Texas.
For whatever reason, there was 1A and 1B.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you could see both of them out there, but I still think that right now Wimbush has a better overall skill set.
I'm going with two. I think that they're both going to play.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it. I don't like it, but I think that that's what's going to happen.
We've seen it before.
Again, I would say if the season started today, I think both guys play.
I mean, that was obviously, now granted, you're at the end of the season last year, Citrus Bowl, but that was the plan going into the Citrus Bowl, that both guys were going to get out there and
then they ride the hot hand.
They don't win the Citrus Bowl if not for Ian Book coming
right in.
The way the throws are being made and all that stuff. So now, again, real quick, Chip Long here talking about how he creates adversity in practice for these guys to try to work through.
Times, you know, team, most time I usually script. Well, I don't anymore. Just so they don't have all day where they know their plays, they can go through their situation, their reads. Now it's game-like, speed of the moment. And the same thing with young offensive linemen. I mean, I want to know what plays I'm going to have so I can just go over it all night, you know. A lot of our run play action I'll script just so we're getting our installs and all that taken care of. But when it's team, we're all off the field and we got to go play. And play with tempo and be able to communicate. And that's one thing just every single day we've been doing. Now, other days, Coach Kelly will have, you know, a lot of two-minute situations into the game. We got to score. We got to get a first down for those guys. And really piping in some loud music where, you know, they got to be able to focus and perform.
And so it's, again,
I love it.
Simulate game situations as much as you can.
Love going off script.
And there was some crazy, it wasn't even music, it was just weird sounds that they were playing.
Well, I don't know about there. That, but the off script, I really like that. You know, that was, when I played, everything was scripted. I mean, you knew what play you were running and what defense you were getting.
So you could start thinking about it. And
I think you get that, you know, you get that more in season, especially when you have your analysts and you have the coaching staff breaking down coverages and blitzes and fronts based on, you know, what teams have done over time against certain looks that you have. But right now in the spring, I mean, you're not game planning against anyone. You're working on your offense, implementing your offense. So to make it more difficult, instead of handing the quarterbacks a list of here are the 60 to 80 plays that we're going to run today in practice, you say, all right, let's see what the defense gives you. We're going to signal these plays in. I really like that. It makes the quarterbacks work. From play to play, you have to be really locked in. You might see more mistakes in practice, but I think over time that will help rectify some of those situations in game moments.
Well, and I don't think that right now you could be concerned about making mistakes
no,
in practice.
No.
It's go out and figure out a way to
right.
get through that. And
how do you problem solve what the defense is giving you right now? And, you know, when it's scripted, you usually have problem solved that in the quarterback meeting room. So you really already know what to expect. So are you really going out there? You know, there are different ways to study. And yes, okay, if you start on a piece of paper and say, here's the coverage, you still have to go out there and see the defense and see it happening. But it's much easier if you know what's coming versus you're lining up in, say, like a 2x2 formation or a 3x1, and you don't know the coverage that is expected. You don't know where the rotation is coming. You don't know what blitz scheme is coming. Now you're really working your eyes. You know, you've got to, number one, see what it is, and then you're going to confirm, okay, well, what am I going to do if the safety rotates weak? Where's the ball going, et cetera, things like that.
And we did get to see some of those live situations at last Saturday's practice, and it was mixed. There were some throws that Wimbush would make. There was another. There should have been an interception that was dropped. There was one where they were down in the red zone. And I remember Brian Kelly, you know, you started off here and we lost yardage. You know, so that's not good. But again, The big thing is they were probably throwing a lot of different stuff at him that they weren't necessarily expecting, rather than knowing what's coming in advance, which is good for him.
Keep doing it.
Yeah.
Do it all summer and fall.
As much as possible. 12:27, we're going to get Evan Sharpley's thoughts on the Jay Hayes decision to use his grad transfer in the next segment. We'll let you hear a little from Brian Kelly on that. Jay Hayes announcing that he has taken off, and Khalid Kareem has been on the rise this spring as well. And we've got that and some schools, including Michigan, canceling their spring games this weekend. We'll get Evan's thoughts on that and his overall thoughts on the value of the spring game. So we will do that when we return. Coming up on 12:28, Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley is brought to you by Sharpley Training. With us, you can be a champion. Also by Zolman's Tire and Auto Care, voted the best tire store 2 years in a row by the Food Bank of Northern Indiana. Together we can solve hunger. Learn more at feedindiana.org. By Leckleitner Door. Need a new garage door or repair on your current one? Call Leckleitner 295-6311. By Carmela's at McCree's, the Trattoria. Trattoria, right?
Trattoria?
I'm stumbling on that word for some reason lately. I think it's Trattoria at McCree's Pasta Bar and Salads. By Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing. Contact Matt Wilson in South Bend or Pablo Rodriguez in Granger. By Cured Outdoor Living, make plans now to transform your backyard into an oasis with the experts at Cured Outdoor Living. You should know how to say it. You just got back from Italy.
Trattorias. It came pretty good off the lips when I said it. I don't know. I don't know if it's right, but it sounded good.
That's right. All right, we'll hear about Evan's trip to Italy, playing a little American football over there, and more when we return, and more Notre Dame stuff to get to as well when the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley continues on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Everybody dance now. 12:32, Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley. He is former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers as we continue on this Friday, the 13th. Are you superstitious?
No.
Friday the. I didn't even realize it was Friday the 13th.
Just make sure you, when you hit a home run, you touch all the bases.
That's
the
right.
Only one.
That's right. Absolutely. Evan Sharpley, we've got some Notre Dame football news, more that we'll get to here in just a minute. Evan, though, spent last week. How many days did you end up being in Italy?
Well, we flew out Saturday and got in early Sunday into Rome. And then we were there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then flew out Saturday. No, flew out Sunday. So we played Saturday, and then we flew out Sunday.
Okay. You took a group of football players
over
there.
We did.
All high school aged. Is that right?
All high school aged.
How did it go?
Well, we won 69-0, so it went well.
With
just 14 players. Yeah, it was
the
great.
The Italians confused when they found out they couldn't kick the ball?
it's still a growing sport in Italy. And to kind of put it in perspective, they call it football. Soccer is the main sport there. And
football.
Right. And there aren't youth programs set up like we have here in the States, where if you want to play rocket football as a third or fourth grader, you know, you show up and the pads and the helmet are provided. If you want to play football, I'm in Italy, you're going to talk to your parents and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, I don't know if I'm any good at football. I don't even know if I'm going to like it.
Right.
But can I spend $400 to $500 on pads and helmet to see if I...
So you have to go buy all your own stuff.
It's all your own stuff. And
it's kind of like hockey or something here.
Yeah. And because it's not set up... it's not set up through the school system. Most of the teams are regional. So when the Italian team came and played, they had kids that were taking a 4-hour train ride just to come play.
Oh, man.
And they said on average, the average drive time or travel time for practice is over an hour for kids.
Man.
But what is really great is if you are going to invest that type of money and then time for travel, you're getting kids that are very passionate about the game of football.
Sure.
It's still the skill side of it is still fairly new. So it was very evident early on. And the last time we were in Italy, the same thing is, you know, some of these kids pass the eye test. They look like they can be athletic. They look like they can play. But there's just a different mindset and the way they move too. So for our 14 guys, I mean, we had a lot of really good skill position. We only had four linemen. So we had a defensive back, wide receiver play left tackle for us. And our left guard was probably 180 pounds. We had three bigs is what we called them, usually to the strong side. And we did a lot of misdirection. We pulled those two smaller guys and tried to get them up to the second level to get matchups with linebackers or defensive back safeties and DBs. But it was, you know, we got to the game, so that was at the end of the week, and I'll back up and talk a little about the rest of the trip. But we showed up, and it was really funny. We were greeted by three of the linemen from the Italian team, and they've got full beards, and they're all smoking cigarettes. So we were just kind of like, you know, well, number one, like, how old are you?
Len Dawson jumps out of the car with
him. It was pretty amazing. That and post game too. You know, there's the drinking age is non-existent there, so the post game was a little bit different as well with cigarettes and alcohol going around. But it was a great experience for us. We played in this small town about an hour outside of Rome. Really cool venue because it was up in the hills on a soccer field, of course. But what we decided to do, because the field wasn't in poor shape, it was great for soccer, but the little pellets that are in the field turf fields, mm-hmm. those had gotten over time kind of washed out. So it was almost like we were playing on the old AstroTurf. It was hard. So our offensive line coach came to me. He's been coaching for over 50 years, and he made the suggestion of turning this into a touch football game. So he gave me free rein because I was calling plays. He goes, you can throw it 50 times if you want today, because we want to give our bigs, because they're playing both ways. They're playing offensive and defensive line, you know, an opportunity to rest. So we dial up the first play. We go a trips right. And what I've seen, you know, thus far in the three trips that I've gone on is most European teams, especially early, aren't really sure what to do with a trip set. And you know, we had audibles built in if they were going to do that. So we had single coverage to the backside. They were playing like cover zero, cover one. There wasn't a middle of the field safety, and we had a really talented receiver on the backside. So I looked at the quarterback, and we just went kind of a simple look pass. So to the right, he could signal to any of the three receivers that they were getting the ball on the snap. But I had him tag the backside receiver with a go. The kid beats him on the first play, and of course the quarterback then underthrows him, hits off the defensive back's helmet. So I look at him again, I go, run the same play, throw it quicker. 75-yard touchdown to start the game. So
you're ruthless.
It was 32-0 fairly quickly there in the first quarter, and we were up 55-0 at half. You know, like I said, probably in the 3 years that I've done this, we had the most skill talent. We didn't have a huge group that went with us, but our skill talent was pretty evident, you know, compared to – they weren't very aggressive at the offensive line. And we met with their coaches at halftime kind of on what they wanted to do, and they said, listen, the fans showed up. They want to watch American football, and the best way for our kids to learn is for you to pound us into the ground.
Really?
I mean, what better way? I mean, they're not going to – keep pounding. They're not going to get that look, you know.
Yeah.
In their practices. So it was a learning experience. You know, we were the teachers. You know, showing them, here's how we play. We play low and we play fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a great experience for the kids outside of the football game, because we practiced every day leading up, and we only get the guys for 4 days to practice. And this is our first practice together. The team that we played against, you know, it's 55 guys deep. They've been practicing for a month or so.
They had 55 guys.
Oh, they had 55 guys on the roster.
My goodness.
And they might have practiced, you know, longer than that together. But, you know, we have 4 days to install our offense and our defense. So we keep it fairly simple so that the guys are out there. You know, we try to put them in the best position to have success. But leading up to that, our trip was great. You know, we started in Rome. We ended up in Sorrento, the Amalfi Coast. So we were near Naples. My wife and I took a day trip to Capri, the island of Capri. So we did that. Then we ended up going to Rome. We had a private mass in the crypt of St. Peter. We climbed all the way to the top of St. Peter's Basilica, which was a pretty amazing view. We did the ruins of Pompeii, which was way bigger than I had thought. That was pretty unique. And then we saw the Colosseum, Vatican City, Sistine Chapel. It was very memorable. And, you know, for these high school kids, it really is a once in a lifetime experience. And then probably not the most fun, but it kind of carries over. We decide where we're going to go next year on this trip. So we're going to be going to Ireland next year.
Oh.
And we're kind of deciding how our trip is going to be structured, if we're going to do like a Dublin, Galway, Killarney, or if we're going to go to Northern Ireland a little bit too, up to Belfast.
Have they ever, and it's Patrick Steenberg, right?
Yes, yeah.
Has he ever thought about trying to get multiple European teams together when you're over there, like get them to and kind of do other things besides just a one-on-one with one other team, anything like that?
So what he's done in the past, he's actually taken multiple U.S. teams. When Notre Dame played Navy in Ireland, mm-hmm. what did that have been, 2012, he did a Friday Night Lights high school, not tournament, but it was teams opened up their high school season there. He's done a few of those types of things, similar to what you said. It's usually when we take the high school group, it's usually just one area, but you could get an all-star team. So when we played in Germany, we had kids from a couple of different countries that were all on the same team that came into play. And right now, what Patrick and I are working on is a fairly new idea, the Global Quarterback Quest, or QB Quest, where we're going to be having this August. We're going to have, our goal is to have 10-plus European quarterbacks come in, and for a week long, they'll be training at our facility.
Kind of like Million Dollar Arm,
yes.
with the baseball players that from India.
And right now, with numbers decreasing here in the States, you know, there is an opportunity for some European kids to play football.
Yeah,
I think you saw this, and it's been, you know, probably 10 plus, even maybe even longer than that. But basketball, you know, really exploded on the European scene, and you were seeing more European-born players coming and playing in college and in the NBA too. And right now there are some opportunities for some kids in Europe with the right development. I mean, that's really what it is. It's the development, it's the coaching. But if they have the desire, we're going to kind of, I guess, whet their appetite a little bit so they can see what it's like here in the States. And then we're going to do a follow-up trip in February where then we're going to go overseas and spend a week or so with them and potentially do a couple of different countries.
That'll be really good. And of course, Evan will have, so you'll be going to Ireland about a year from now?
Then? Ireland over spring break next year.
All right. All right.
If you're interested, you can already sign up right now.
Get going. Do it now. Those are just, especially as a high school student, once in a lifetime.
It's unbelievable.
Type opportunities.
And most high school seniors are going on a spring break. What better way than to play one more football game and go to Europe?
Yep. Do it all at once. All right. We'll take a break. It is 12:43. We will talk a little Notre Dame football coming up next. Sean and Sharpley, Leprechaun Lunch on 96.1 WSBT, the Sports Leader. Twelve 12:47, Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, along with former Notre Dame quarterback and baseball player Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Sires as we wind through your lunch hour. If you missed us at the top of the show, big news this morning as Notre Dame women's basketball player Arike Ogunbowale has been named to the cast of Dancing with the Stars. She's going to be among 10 athletes who are going to be performing. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Tanya Harding, and many others. Josh Norman from the NFL, Johnny Damon, and a few Olympians are going to be taking part in that, along with Arike Ogunbowale. Tanya Harding as well. The most infamous Olympian ever. I think the list would be pretty short after that. Ben Johnson, the Canadian, who tested positive for steroids.
They all were once. Taking steroids.
Yes.
We already have gone over this.
Legalize it, right?
Yeah, just make it legal.
Right. This might kind of end up being a little bit rapid fire-ish. I've got a few different topics I want to get to. So let's just start off with Jay Hayes, the defensive end. And he announced via Twitter last week that he's going to use his grad transfer and go someplace else. He'd been practicing with Notre Dame all spring. But Khalid Kareem apparently kind of, and he's been doing well, and Mike Elston has noted him, but Jay Hayes is heading elsewhere. So just, I guess, your immediate thoughts on that, considering this is a guy who started last year and was a pretty productive strong side defensive end.
I think it's a little strange, but it's becoming more commonplace. And if you're a guy that has that opportunity, and you maybe see some of the writing on the wall, you know, whether it's a relationship with the coaching staff, questions about playing time. It could be the surge of another player. It could be that.
Well, and then along those lines, so Brian Kelly was asked all these different questions about Jay Hayes, and he talked about traits and whether he was meeting the standards, and also talked about how even with Jay Hayes there that he felt like Khalid Kareem would basically be the number one defensive end anyway. And he also talked about Ade Okeneje and how he's come on this spring as well. And then so,
if you're hearing those things publicly, I mean, it's usually as a player, you see kind of the trend.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have an opportunity to go somewhere else, maybe where you're needed, it's not a bad thing. I think, though, you know, you want to build a program where guys aren't doing that, where you have complete buy-in for your entire eligibility, whether it be for depth or leadership. Because, I mean, this is a guy with a pretty dynamic personality, is well-liked by his teammates, is a presence in the locker room. And certainly that will be felt, the absence of that, with him not being there.
They played a lot of guys last year too, so he still would have been in the rotation, you would have to think anyway. But now fans have a habit of kind of putting these transfer situations on the coach.
The buck stops with it. Does it stops with the coach?
But is it the coach's fault that a guy decides he's going to head out?
I don't know the details going behind it. I think that I don't know if you need to place fault or blame necessarily.
Right.
But sometimes it happens. Right. But certainly, that could play a decision, or play a role in the decision that Jay is making, that it's time for a fresh start. And that could be, hey, I've had 4 years with this coaching staff. I'm going to wave goodbye and say thank you very much for this diploma, and I'm going to go play one more year somewhere else and see if I can turn that into a great opportunity.
And of course, the other side of this is different position, but Jonathan Bonner was going to leave, and then he decided to come back. His situation was different. It was because of his mother's health and that kind of stuff. But it's
you see the surface. There's usually things, there's layers underneath. You don't know. And there's a lot that goes, I mean, these decisions aren't made on a whim. I mean, it was a conversation I had, a few times, whether to transfer and leave to go play somewhere else. And, I had an opportunity as a fifth year guy. I could have transferred somewhere and been immediately eligible to play too. That was something that I explored. But they definitely aren't taken lightly. And normally, there is a discussion, it starts with the player and his family, and it could lead to getting some counsel and advice from the staff of the school where you are. But then, once that decision is made, then it's then about trying to find a fit that's best for you.
Right. Okay, now try to get a couple other topics here. Michigan, Iowa State, Wisconsin, all canceling their spring games tomorrow. Minnesota pushed their spring game from what was supposed to be tomorrow to last night. And it's all because of weather. But Minnesota, they're like, well, we're not just going to cancel it. We're at least going to reschedule it. But does the fact that all these other teams or schools are canceling theirs, does it kind of show maybe the real value?
I'm surprised that this is just becoming a trend. It's for the fans, really, is what it is. I always liked the blue and gold game. I liked playing in it. It was a different feeling than your day-to-day kind of mundane practice.
Still more fun to play a game.
No doubt. Yeah. It absolutely is. You get to put the jersey on and walk down the tunnel, and there's people watching you instead of, you just walking into Loftus or going out to the LeBar practice fields every day.
Right.
And so it breaks up the monotony and kind of puts an exclamation point. But, I'm surprised that more schools aren't, they haven't got this is a trend I think will continue, because really, in the grand scheme of things for the program, it's pretty meaningless.
Right. I have to agree. And I mean, really, when you look at this one, well, all that's going to come out of this is, one way or another, we're all going to make more than what we probably should on the performance of two guys out there.
They did so great, so this guy is going to be the next Heisman Trophy winner. Yep. This guy was terrible, and he's never going to play again. Take a scholarship.
Right. Okay, ESPN.com's Football Power Index for the upcoming season projects Notre Dame as the number 5 team in the country with a 10-2 record. So scale of 1 to 10. Sitting here right now, how much do you agree with that?
1.
Just 1?
1. I've got 8-4 or 9-3.
Okay.
That's where I'm sitting right now.
Fairly standard prediction. But yeah. I think based on how the schedule shapes up at the end of the season, that's tough.
It's concerning.
4 out of the last 5 games on the road, you're going coast to coast.
Some question marks on. I mean, you have to have some guys step up. I think if there's one saving grace, the defense could be really good.
They really could.
If the defense plays how they could with the number of guys coming back, that 10-2 is definitely reasonable and attainable.
Maybe the most important question of the day, Evan, Hootie and the Blowfish are getting back together.
Man.
And they're going to do a one-night-only concert, the reuniting of Hootie and the Blowfish. Darius Rucker announced it. Meanwhile, Hall & Oates is going to tour with Train this summer. So which of those concerts would you rather attend?
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates all the way.
All the way.
I went... It was one of Notre Dame's Fiesta Bowls. I think it was 2001 when they played Oregon State out there. And that was when they still played at Tempe Stadium or Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe.
Yeah.
And they would always do like this street fest kind of thing in downtown Tempe out there. And Hootie and the Blowfish did a concert. And it's like, hey, Hootie and the Blowfish. So you went over there and it's like, okay, I heard their 3 songs.
Yeah.
And now it's... Let's go someplace. Hall & Oates has a huge library.
You Make My Dreams
is
my Friday song. How can you not walk into any room with that song and not just have a smile on your face?
Private eyes are watching you. And even Train has more than Hootie and the Blowfish.
I like Darius Rucker a lot.
I do too. I like Patrick Monahan though, the train lead.
But I would rather go see Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be in Chicago.
All right.
United Center.
We might have to do that. Do a leprechaun lunch from there.
There you go. All right. We'll be back to wrap it up right after this. Winding down the leprechaun lunch with Sean and Sharpley on 96.1 WSBT South Bend, the sports leader. As we wind it down, Dez Bryant released by the Dallas Cowboys officially. He met with the team just a day or two ago, and they officially released him, declining production and too much money. He wouldn't take a pay cut, so he's gone.
See you later.
In the meantime, did you see the stuff that Clint Hurdle, the Pirates manager, was saying about Javi Baez yesterday?
I saw Javi Baez respond to it.
Yeah, basically, Hurdle was ripping him and Contreras for bat flips and the way they act and all this stuff. And so Joe Maddon, I don't have time to get into all of it, but quote from Joe Maddon today, according to Patrick Mooney of The Athletic, "The mistakes of youth are preferable to the wisdom of old age." My view on Clint Hurdle and anyone is manage your own team. Yeah, I don't think he needs to be talking about how somebody on somebody else's team plays. That would be all I
concur.
About that. All right. Leprechaun Lunch brought to you by Sharply Training, by Zolman's Tire and Auto Care, by Lechleitner Door, by Edward Jones. Contact Leo Premer in South Bend or Jim Hipschman in Mishawaka, by Carmela's at McCree's, by the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, and by Kirt Outdoor Living. Good to be back with you, and look forward to next week, the day before the Blue Gold game. So we'll get a lot of thoughts on what we're expecting to see in old Blue Gold next week.
Have a great weekend.
All right. You as well. And we do have practice to cover tomorrow, Notre Dame football practice. And, of course, we'll talk about that on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat Monday. And Darren and Eric coming up at 5 o'clock tonight. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.